Earlier this month on Underreported, we told you about upcoming negotiations at the International Whaling Commission. On the agenda for that meeting was a controversial proposal to end the moratorium, which was set in place in 1986 on commercial whaling. Last week, those talks collapsed. We are joined now by Philip Hoare, author of The Whale in Search of the Giants of the Sea. I'm very pleased that it brings him back to our show today for our Underreported update. Hello.
Hello there. Hi.
The commission was considering a proposal to end the moratorium on commercial whaling, but as I understood it, as we discussed it a little while back, the goal was to reduce the number of whales being killed each year. How was that supposed to work?
Well, the idea was a 10-year period during which Japan, Norway, and Iceland, who are the major whaling nations now, would accept a quota of whales which they would be allowed to kill, to cull. That quota would reduce over the next few years, so in 5 years' time it would be halved. And at the end of the 10-year period, it was proposed that Japan specifically would stop killing whales in the declared whale sanctuary of the Southern Ocean and therefore be confined only to its coastal waters, killing whales there. Unfortunately, this proposal wasn't accepted by the IWC. In fact, the negotiations were rancorous. I have a mole at the negotiations and really, you know, what we had reported to us via the press really did not reflect the kind of acrimony really there. And it's partly because there was a real lobby group against the U.S. proposal. I mean, this proposal was sponsored by the U.S. And really because it was seen as an abnegation of that 1986 moratorium, that it was seen to be opening up whaling. But in a way, it actually was reducing whaling.
Well, not just the United States, also some anti-whaling nations like New Zealand. Brazil's top negotiator to the IWC said the process lacked political maturity. What did he mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of name calling. You know, we have a situation where we have a dysfunctional organization. I mean, as you know, when we spoke last time, we're talking about an organization that was set up in 1946 to promote whaling, really, in a way, to conserve stocks so that it could be hunted. It's not a conservation body. Now, the problem is that obviously creates a really sort of fractured kind of landscape from which these various sort of warring parties pursue their various aims. And ultimately, the loser is the whale. Of course, the problem is that on such an emotive subject, and it really is an emotive subject, people get very hot under the collar with good reason. Japan feels as though it's discriminated against, yet on the other hand, the anti-whaling nations know and have now proved that Japan are hunting whales for commercial reasons and that they are in fact bribing non-whaling delegates to the 88-strong International Whaling Commission, bribing them with foreign aid to vote for Japan. I think that the key really is that and this is what my friend, who's one of the scientific advisors there, said, was the trouble was no one was going to give any ground. I think the shadow, for instance, of Australia, who is currently pledged, the Australian government is currently pledged to take Japan to the International Court of Justice to sue them for their actions in the Southern Ocean, which are, of course, are contingent to Australia and New Zealand. Now, that's a really high-risk strategy because if they can't win their case, if Australia can't win their case, and it's quite likely they won't because this is just a convention. This isn't, you know, legally binding rules here. If they don't win, Australia don't win, it really legitimizes what Japan is doing. And that really is terrible because that means that nations like South Korea, who very much want to come in whaling, are going to start whaling. Already, one of the results of the debacle in Morocco last week is that Greenland have now got a quota to kill 22 humpback whales each year. Now, the other aspect of this Aboriginal hunt, and there was a lot of reaction after the show last time from people talking about Inuit and Aboriginal people's rights to hunt whales. Well, the trouble is that it's been now proved that in Greenland, the Inuit hunt of whales such as humpback whales, fin whales, and bowhead whales, the longest living animal on Earth, are not only being hunted and the meat is entering the commercial chain, it's being sold in hotels and supermarkets. This isn't subsistence whaling, which is the only reason why the IWC exempts Aboriginal or Indigenous hunting. Not only that, but they don't know what they're doing. One bowhead whale, which was killed recently in Greenland, took 2.5 hours to die. You know, this is an incredibly sensitive animal. Really does feel pain very, very much acutely. So for all those reasons, we're talking about a real mess.
Is whale meat even safe to eat?
It's certainly not. It's certainly not. I mean, because of where they sit in the food chain, they're so high in the food chain, everything that we're pumping into the oceans, PCBs, heavy metals, all ends up in whales. You know, this recent study about chromium entering sperm whales, because there's chromium in the air from on their migratory routes, they're breathing it in because these are such deep-breathing animals. They have to breathe so deeply to dive. All the stuff we're pumping into the ocean is ending up in the whales.
Now, I don't understand why you think Australia might not win the case. If Japan has been breaking the rules of the moratorium that is now in place, which is allows them to hunt whales for scientific research, whatever that means, but not for commercial use, but there's real evidence that they have been not abiding by that, doesn't Australia have a strong case?
One other thing
we should point out is this is only in the Antarctic area, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're talking about a huge and very vitally important feeding ground for lots of different whales, humpback whales, blue whales, fin whales. Now, this is where they eat. This is where they go to gather to eat. No, it's the end point of their migrations. And so, you know, there's an immense concentration of whales there. It's a big area, in fact. And as to the legality of it all, the trouble is the IWC has no basis in law. This is just convention. This is not, you know, this isn't any kind of, you know, binding maritime law that they're imposing. It's a voluntary and temporary ban. The 1986 ban was a voluntary and temporary ban.
Like the Kyoto Treaty regarding polluting things.
It's so similar to the Kyoto Treaty, and it's so bound up in the same kind of realpolitik and really quite grubby goings on, I must admit, that you know, some of the stuff that's happening there, you know, and the way that Japan are openly bribing people. I mean, they really are. I mean, you know, Mongolia, they've got Mongolia's vote on something. Mongolia is a landlocked country. It has no interest in whaling at all, you know. They're also, what Japan are doing, and, you know, that they're persuading some of the delegates that their fishing industries are threatened by whales. Whales eating the fish that they're trying to catch, which is complete arrant nonsense. I mean, no whale, you know, none of the whales which really eat in volume, like the baleen whales, they, you know, they ain't anything bigger than a sand eel, you know, something six inches long. So there's a degree of misinformation here as well.
Well, Japan has also been credited with defeating proposals at the UN in March that would have protected Atlantic tuna, sharks, right, and coral. So this goes beyond whaling. It has to do with a whole different philosophy about the sea. And David Jolly of the New York Times said that the collapse of the talks left management of whale populations in the hands of the hunter. You agree?
Totally. I mean, one of the Japanese delegates to the commission a couple of years ago called minke whales, which are the whales, the great whales that they hunt mostly. They kill probably about between 1,000 and 2,000 in a good year. The delegate called them the cockroaches of the sea. You know, it's a different mindset, and they accuse us of sentimentality and hypocrisy. You know, and I think we spoke about this last time. For me, the absolute bottom line, whatever you say about this issue, the absolute bottom line, it's impossible to humanely kill a whale at sea.
How is it done now? It's not done with harpoons, is it?
It's explosive grenades are shot into the whale's head. Now, that, if they're lucky, they die instantly. So often they do not. There's a very innocuous sounding initials, TTD, time to death. And actually, they don't have to report time to death as long as the animal dies within half an hour. Would you imagine a 50-ton, 50-foot animal squirming in agony for half an hour? It's unconscionable. Unconscionable. If we slaughtered our livestock like that, no one could ever countenance it. And that's my bottom line. That really is where it stops, really.
Well, the talks are now in a year-long period of cooling off. Do you think that some kind of formal agreement can be worked out in the year before we finally address this again?
It's interesting because actually, I know the New Zealand commissioner actually paid tribute to Japan this time. And there was ground being given by Japan, which is quite interesting. The trouble was is the anti-whaling nations were upping the ante. Actually, they've been accused of deliberately wrecking those talks. We've got a long way to come back from now because the U.S. proposal, I mean, that was being really worked on for the past 2 years. So some real ground was being made. We've lost all that ground now. I'm afraid last week's decision means more whales are going to die.
So the moratorium doesn't remain in place, the current moratorium?
It remains in place in name, but in name only, really. But it only ever has done. Plenty of whales die each year, you know, beyond the remit of the IWC. And that's not counting all the dolphins and smaller cetaceans that are killed in hunts, you know.
Well, we have very little time, but I have to ask you one more question. Beyond explaining how Mongolia becomes part of the IWC, do you think that the failure of these talks has raised questions about the mission of the International Whaling Commission?
I think it must do. I think it must do. I mean, we are talking about, there are really entrenched attitudes about that. I'm talking to you now from Cape Cod, from Provincetown. I was out looking at whales today. I mean, these incredibly beautiful creatures, so close to our shores, you know. It's such an emotive issue that it's very difficult. As with the Kyoto conference, you know, we're talking about things that affect us all. It just seems as though we can never all get together and agree on these things.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today, Philip Hoare, H-O-A-R-E. His book, The Whale, In Search of the Giants of the Sea, is published by Echo. It's a very sad story, but thank you so much for telling us it.
Thanks so much, Liz. We'll be right back.